Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Angel Reese y McDonald's tienen la clave para un post-game meal de campeones. Una QPC con salsa barbecue y tocino, papitas y un refresco. Los pros le llaman el Angel Reese Special. Llévate el Angel Reese Special solo en McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance's Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Last name, because I'd say Bonema in my head.
You know what's interesting that you brought this up?
Set a timer for 15 minutes, Siri.
That is the most basic question, and I'm going to turn it because...
I'm here with Leah Bonema, and we're... or whatever it is. Leah...
You know, you nailed it, but I was just thinking about, you know, when I first moved to New York, I wanted to make movies and be an actress.
Of course.
And I used my whole name. My name is Leah D'Alessandro Bonema.
Leah D'Alessandro Bonema. You are Italian.
Italian and Dutch. And I, you know, you work so hard. I was like in my early 20s, so I was, you know, fragile. And I got an agent and it was like huge. And I was like so excited. And he was like, you have to drop the D'Alessandro. It's like it's too much.
Keep talking. I'm going to adjust your microphone because I realized.
And as a comic, you know, I obviously moved into comedy. I've been doing comedy for almost 2 decades. And although, did we just share my age? That's fine.
Oh, God.
And
you look great.
Thank you.
I am adjusting this, though. Keep talking.
It's very professional here. No, I love it. I sort of feel like I'm in a hair salon.
It's not just like you behind bars. It's a lip dick. There we go. If you're only listening... It's so funny right now.
And so he convinced me that, you know, I didn't have a long time in the business. I was coming from film and then I was like, I should take some acting classes. And then so I was like, cool. And then he was like, it's too much. Da 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 da. And so I dropped it. I changed it.
I want you to know I have gotten that feedback, if that's what you're alluding to.
And then this guy was like, he was sending me out for auditions, and it was when The Sopranos was huge. And he was like, I'm going to have to see your tits because all of these roles are, and you know, we can't send you in not knowing. And I go, oh, okay, no, that's...
We can't send you in. What are the roles? Great tits?
Yeah, and I was like, this one seems suspicious.
Wow, that's not even, I mean, what a not sneaky move.
Not sneaky move at all. And I obviously was like, that's a hard no. And so I left that agency. But
that's so fucking creepy.
But I mean, I feel like when I started in this business, that it was, I mean, it's still like that, but at least people are like sort of embarrassed. But at the time they were like,
yeah, there was no social media. No one was going to publicly out you and it go viral.
No,
it was just word of mouth. Yeah, at that point,
you just had to leave and then be like, I guess I'll take another 10 years to get another agent. But
I mean, imagine if you had shown him your tits and still got no roles.
I didn't even think of that.
It's so devastating.
Devastating. So the other day, you know, that's still my, that is my legal name, Leah D'Alessandro Bonema. And I just, the other day I was like, I hate that I let this garbage man convince me to not use my whole name.
Yeah.
But now I've been in comedy so long and it's like, I'm Leah Bonema.
You feel like it's like people refer to you a certain way. That's why it's like, I can't go back now. I tried to go by JMS for like a minute. Because some of my friends call me that anyways, but I was like, well, just put on the lineups. And then after like 3 weeks, I was like, just put my name back.
I think I could just go by Leah Bonema, but then have it like for when I do any kind of...
pornography.
When I'm doing pornography specifically, I want to use my full name so you can hit both of my family lines.
Leah Double D'Alessandro.
Leah Double D D'Alessandro Bonema.
Crazy, like we also, I feel like everyone thinks so much about that, like how will this affect, it's like either you meet the people who are going to help you or you don't, and at that point they'll figure out your name. I think, I don't know.
Yeah, if it's also, it's just like, it's my name.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a fake name. I had an agent once, like a very early on, met with an agency and they asked me my goals, and of course at the time I was like, I want to be one of the biggest comedians in the world. And the man running, by the way, when I say agency, this was, I showed up, it was like room maybe smaller than this that they had like rented in an office building, and there were three desks, and one was like the commercial agent and this is the theatrical agent, and they were trying to open a touring or comedy department, I don't know. And then there was just some coked out man who I guess owned the agency wandering around all the desks, and he's like, well, your name's too long, you're gonna have to change it. And I was like, he's like, it won't fit on a marquee. And I just am like, yeah, I think we'll worry about that when I get to marquees. Like, what do you fucking shut up?
Good for you. At least I didn't show the tits. I may have caved on the name, but I didn't show the tits.
I mean, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
But you probably missed out on a great role. The Sopranos. Fuck. Yeah. Wait, so you're not from New York?
No, I'm from rural Maine.
You're from rural Maine?
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, I guess because I think I met you for the first time in New York. And maybe
people say I seem New York-y.
I think it's because also you just have such an Italian name. They're like, New York! Dude, wait, what is rural Maine like? Rural?
I was trying not to use that word. It is, you know, I'm a woods woman.
Yes, a woods woman in a tracksuit.
it's sort of the mixing of cultures.
Oh, my God. Did you always know you wanted to act and...
Well, I've always loved movies. You know, originally I wanted to be a filmmaker.
Really?
I like storytelling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I've always liked, I was in dance growing up, and the person who taught our high school theater hated my guts. So she was like,
it's so political.
No, no. And
it's also so embarrassing that high school theater is political.
It's so, well, as an adult, I get it. But as a teenager, you're like, I'm just the worst.
Yeah, but it's also like when they're like, teacher having favorites in the theater community is so fucking creepy. Like,
it's so wrong.
It's like, we get it. You didn't make it, and this is your little nugget of power. Fuck you.
It would be so nice if we had like an adult around to let us know at the time. They're like, this really doesn't have to do with you.
If there had just been someone to pop in and go, hey, this will not matter.
Yeah. Yes.
I know,
yes.
You don't believe me. It seems like it's the biggest deal. This will mean literally nothing so soon.
We could be those people for teenagers. Hey. This doesn't matter.
Yeah, can you get a job out of school just being like a self-esteem monitor?
I would love that.
Just pop in and go, a lot of these people are going to be bald in like 3 years.
I would do it for free.
Oh my God, me too.
I did have a dance teacher who was like, you got some kid.
Really?
Yeah, she was great.
Ah, thank God for, it's like, for every shithead teacher, like, thank God for the ones that are like, you could be somebody.
Yeah, there's three teachers that were like, you're weird. But it's great.
But it's a good weird. Yeah. Weird is different, and different sticks out in the job force. Yeah. What kind of dance did you do?
I took all of them.
Really?
And then, you know, my body changed, and they were like, well, guess it's not ballet.
That's so funny. God, that's so real that, like, it doesn't matter with ballet, like, how technically great you are if you can't maintain your eating disorder.
They're like, look at those hips, girl.
Yeah, if you didn't hit a certain height and you can't say no to any food, like it, like the ballet body is fucking crazy.
I mean, and also you see those women's feet out of, they work so hard, and ugh, their feet are like, I'm so tired.
I mean, what do you even do after you age out of ballet?
I assume that you love dance and so you become like a choreographer or.
Yeah, or you teach. That's. What was your favorite kind of dance? I'm just like curious about your dance ambitions now.
Well, she cast me as this is gonna change your whole view of me. You're like, wow, Leah's cool.
Is a star. I already think you're cool.
I got cast as the lion in The Wizard of Oz doing a jazz number.
I was Nico, the king of the flying monkeys.
Were you?
So not to brag, but there if anyone it, on that alone, you can all assume the great difference in our dance abilities. Yeah, that's so funny.
I think we did it. I do with my hair, but I appreciated it.
You do have. Are you a Leo?
No.
I don't know why I asked that, other than the people say Leos have lion hair, but.
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, untrustworthy bitch. Fucking, I had a dream about scorpions recently.
I think we're actually very trustworthy if we're on your side.
That's what they say. No, you are, but you'll fucking revenge, right? I don't know anything about astrology.
I do now. I did not before I moved to California.
I know a lot more, yeah, than I used to. And I love, hate how much I'm slowly, not even slowly, I'm becoming an astrology person.
Oh, it gets
person.
You. It gets you.
Where You're I start like, going, you know, oh, what is your sense. Sign? Mm. You know, it does.
We also have some great astrologers in School of Thought.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I got to get back in there. I've been out of the loop. I think I
have. Now there's a whole channel on there.
There is?
Yes.
I accidentally unsubscribed from the emails, I think. And I just realized that the other day that I was like, yeah, no, Stacia didn't delete me from the emails. That's how fucking insane and bad my self-esteem is when I'm depressed. I'm like, I guess I'm just off the email list. It's like, no one did that.
Nobody did you that. Everybody
idiot.
Loves you.
You unsubscribed on accident because you're ADHD and rushing through clearing out your inbox. Are you doing it right now? School Thought?
Yeah.
Shout out School of Thought.
Shout out School of Thought. We love you.
Stacia Patwell. Oh my Woo! God. It's literally the best. It's, I mean.
I never would have taken this acting class without doing because I would have been like, I can't be bad all over again, dude.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about Stacia is like the things she says.
Oh, it's the best.
That you have to be. That really stuck with me, that you have to get uncomfortable and like risk being shitty to get better.
I started doing that class and then I started doing the artist way. And then I went to Burning Man for the first time. I took a pilot lesson.
Now she's running for mayor of LA.
I'm running for mayor of LA. Actually, Corinne Fisher is running for mayor of New York and everybody should donate.
Vote and donate. Oh my God. That's fucking wild to me.
And she would be so good.
She'd be so good at it. That's why when I saw her do that, I was like, man, the amount of people that have the brain that would sit there and go, if I was mayor, blah, blah, and would never take action. And to see someone who like has the capacity to actually be like, you know what, I'm going to, instead of sitting here and bitching about it, I'm going to fucking do something.
And Corinne cares about stuff. And there's nothing that woman can't do. I honestly believe she puts her mind to something.
She I want to know her astrology. She's fucking, she makes shit happen.
She makes shit happen.
It's crazy. It's like witchcraft. How when she wants something and goes for it, it just fucking rolls out.
You know, I know her sign because I've looked at her and she always shares things and it's gone right now, but
someone out there listening, you'll know. it just becomes a We Love Corinne Fisher podcast. When you said pilot, you mean like flying?
Yeah, and they let me take off. I was like,
what? In one lesson?
Yeah, I literally said to the guy, I go, this seems like a mistake.
They're like, yeah, we are short on pilots. We gotta get you up there.
You should not let me. But I mean, obviously, you're tandem. There's a person next to you.
So he could like step in.
He can step in.
Was that terrifying? What do you?
I loved it.
You did? Are you gonna do more?
I'm in a financial downturn.
I was going to say, was it really? It seemed expensive. We're in a low finance season. It is winter in our finances.
But I don't want to say that because, you know, we're manifesting.
Yeah. We are bringing in so much money.
I bring in so much money.
I have so much money.
I have so much money.
We are so rich.
I make money easily.
Money flows to me like this water is flowing to my mouth right now.
Oh, so easy money.
Money, money, money. Go to punchup.live/James. Please come see me on tour. Wait. Okay. We're
but
manifesting.
You know, then you start doing that whole thing where you're like, maybe I'll get my pilot's license.
Yeah.
And then you're like, maybe I also want to be a veterinarian. And then you're like, did you just spend the past 18 years of your life in comedy? Because we're not going to go be a veterinarian right now, dude.
Oh, my God. Dude, the way if I don't get on stage like 3 nights in a row. Or like yeah.
It's about three nights where you're like, I'm not a comic anymore.
And I have to like really catch myself. Thank God my boyfriend notices, because he like works in the business, but on the other side. And he'll sometimes just go, when's the last time you got up? And I go, oh, I'm doing the thing. I don't want to be a zoologist. Dude, the other day I was literally looking at degree programs for, I was like, I don't even know what zoology is. I was just like, there's animals. I want to be with wildlife.
It's like, I love that.
It's like, yeah, you just want to take a trip to a zoo. Go to the gentle barn. You don't need to try to uproot your life.
Although.
Don't try to. There's a trying to get me out of
here. There's a few of us that want to start like a huge animal
rescue.
So maybe we should all just get together.
So I think if we just pool our money, get a compound.
Yes.
Like a compound farm where we can have all the dogs.
All the dogs.
And some other animals.
I really would like a cow.
I would love a cow. Dude, the cow videos I get, I want a house cow.
Oh, I want a house cow so bad.
Oh, they just seem so sweet. Have you ever been to the gentle barn?
No, but I keep hearing about it.
We should go. You have to set an appointment. You go and you just like brush and pet.
Oh, I love
cows.
This.
There's other animals, but you're there for the cows. Let's be real. They're
beautiful animals.
Are you a meat eater?
I don't eat mammals.
Oh, that's an interesting way to put it. What, so you like fish and then...
Is
a bird? A bird's not a mammal.
Yeah, I say if you have...
But I say birds, like what are you eating? Finch?
I'm a robin redbreast. If you have nipples, I will not eat you.
Wow, I feel so safe. Yeah, I've been eating more vegetarian, more because I saw like a doomsday, what the amount of meat we're eating documentary thing of like what it's doing to the planet.
Oh, the beef industry is really top of the climate change. Besides, yeah. Obviously oil.
Yikes. And it's like, I don't know. Do I want to be just ripped meat man at the fucking cost of the planet dying? And then the more I watch cows, the more I'm like, I can't.
Well, you know what happened is I started dreaming about cows. I was dreaming that they were just looking at me, like just staring in my face.
That's so haunted.
Yes, multiple nights in a row. And then I go, I guess we're done with cows.
I guess that's the end of that. Have you ever looked up the meaning? Did you look up the...
No.
We should look that up and then talk about it when we get back.
Okay.
Listen, when I said I had a dream about scorpions, I looked up the meaning of scorpions, and then I spent 2 days being like, who's going to betray me? It's so insane.
Oh, no.
That it's like someone close to you. And I was like... My boyfriend woke up and he's stressed at work, and he just started his day in a bad mood that day after. And like, I could have been more supportive, and he's just like, all right, I'm leaving. I was like, don't worry, you're gonna be fine unless you betray me, which is insane, but I did kind of mean it. Listen, you guys, we're just getting started. We're gonna take a quick break and then we're gonna really get into some shit. We'll be right back.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
We're back. You guys, you missed so much and you'll never know. The breaks are the best part. Okay. When you walked in, you were coming in at a million miles an hour and I loved it.
Was I?
Yeah, but I'm always a million miles an hour. So I'm like, okay, finally that someone who is meeting me where I'm at instead of me trying to fake not having 10,000 things going on in my head. How are you?
I thought that I was like way calmer than normal.
That's so funny. You're like, my socks, my this. And I'm like, every moment of my life, this... I am right there with you.
I'm off my ADD meds, so it's just like a fucking...
Me too. Wait, are you like out or you stopped them or what's going on?
Well, what happened was... So I was on the same ADD meds forever. I actually like bankrupt myself trying to pay, but it like when you first go on them, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, it's your life has changed. You're like, is this what people feel like?
Is this what functioning people feel like?
Is this is what's going on in people's brains. It's so quiet.
I'm so focused. And it was like lovely. And you know, of course, the one thing that really worked for me wasn't covered.
Wow, I'm shocked.
And it's very shocking. So I paid for it and it like put me, you know, it was a lot of money. And then so I switched to another kind that like was covered. It wasn't as great, but it was still great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've been on it for a long... I'm also like, I don't drink. I don't, you know, I'm very careful.
You just don't drink. You're not a...
I don't drink. Okay. I don't do any drugs except for pharmaceuticals that are prescribed to me.
We party.
But, you know, so I'm...
Workaholism.
I maybe eat out of trash cans late at night, but I... You know, I'm very careful with my monitoring my substance use. I'm not. And so when I moved here, I moved during the pandemic and I went to refill my prescription and they were like, oh, you can't refill it. It's a, which I knew because I traveled. So I had to have
like a new doctor.
You have to get a new doctor to prescribe it because it's a controlled substance, even though I've been on it for so, you know what I mean? You're like, you've been on it for so long.
And then finding a doctor who will even prescribe it because they're so weird about
then
it.
Then nobody would prescribe it because the they fuck? Were like, you know, it's just, it's a specific drug that's like often overused. And you're like, I've literally been on it for 10 years.
Proof.
Here's my doctor. Here's my, and they were like, you're going to have to retest here. And then I didn't have help. So I was like, I'm going to have to pay for this retesting, which already like knocked me out financially. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck this. You're just like, I feel beholden now to like this thing. And I go, and I just went off it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not going to be in prison.
Yeah. And then and then I literally watched 2 seasons of Love Island because my brain just melted the fuck down and I couldn't leave the house. That's 120 episodes for those who don't know.
Oh, my God.
And so then now it's been, you know, it's been a while, but it's like my brain is just getting more and more chaotic.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's it's like I'll even out. It'll...
It's like getting worse.
I'll go back to where I was before and I'm like, I don't remember who I was before. That woman is dead. She got smothered by a pillow in the pandemic. I had to go off mine earlier this year. Just I have like heart palpitations or something. And they were like, we can't give that to you anymore because it's a stimulant, your heart. And I'm a fucking disaster. It makes for fun podcasts sometimes when I can get them scheduled. That's why I scheduled like 800 in January. Like, we're going to get ahead of this. And then fires happened and I canceled on you and everyone. I was like, just kidding. I'm hiding.
Well, fire is a solid reason.
Yeah, that's true. Fire is a solid. But leave it to me to be like this inconvenient. People are losing their homes. And I'm like, I couldn't do my podcast. Like, shut the fuck up. But it's a prison. I mean, like, not a prison. It's hell, though. Like, the ADHD brain is, it's a gift and a curse, you know?
Yep, gift and a curse.
Yeah, I don't think we could do what we do the way we do it. Fucking dumb series of words, but without it, do you feel that way anyway? Like that?
I definitely think it's because I feel like we all sort of have grouped near each other. We all found comedy because we have this brain.
Yeah. it's like an island for crazy people. Yeah.
But then I also think, I do think it comes with, or you let me know if you feel this way, I think it comes with like mass insecurity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I they also say...
Because you get flustered and then you're like... Oh, and then it's just like a... I literally was trying to talk about it last night and I was like, have you ever seen The Replacements? And Keanu Reeves gets to talk about like, when you're in quicksand. We're really talking about when he had a bad game and he threw one. And then it just kept getting worse. I go, that's how it's like.
It's so true because it's always like just, you know, the little hurdles, I guess, that come with ADHD, they pile on. And I've read, and it makes sense to me, like for women, because it gets diagnosed later a lot for us.
Yeah, I got diagnosed much later.
We can still, I got good grades in school. I still did fine. But then when I went to college and had to like actually have a study practice, it was like, turns out that doesn't exist for me. Like we take it more as a self-worth thing. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, like I still, knowing and having like openly talked about having ADHD, been diagnosed, I've been on meds, I've talked to other people with ADHD, I'll still be like, no, I could be better at this.
Right?
And it's like, no, you can't. This is as good as it gets.
I'll be like, if I just write one more to-do list, this is the day.
Yeah. Like one day I'm going to meal prep and I'm going to do the laundry. I do sometimes delude myself into thinking if I didn't have a dream, if I didn't want to do comedy, my thing would be being organized. It's like, no, it wouldn't, bitch. You'd just be in peril.
If I didn't have comedy, I think I would be in a really bad place.
I think I'd be in a psych ward.
Because it's like, it's like when I found comedy, I didn't even know comedy was like a thing a person could do. But I was into the films and then yeah. I took some acting classes and then it was like, I wrote a show and this woman was like, hey, can you take a stand-up class to punch it up? And I took it and I was like, oh my God, it's all the things. I'm telling a story. I'm performing.
I'm live. I'm like in the moment.
I'm in the moment. I get to have my own point of view, which is what, you know, and then you're just like, I'm gobbling it up. I'm gobbling it up.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I found the thing that like this works with.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm like, I couldn't. Yeah. The way you have to like read a crowd's energy and you're telling your story and you sometimes have to like react to something. I don't know if we. People without our, I mean, I don't know. I want to say everyone has a brain like ours in comedy, but
there is a large,
ADHD. Yeah. And it was kind of nice finding a thing where it's like, oh, this is actually maybe helpful instead of hurtful. Cause boy, did I have some office jobs where I was like, this can't last. The jig is about to be up.
Office jobs are also just like,
I could never go back now.
I would rather, I mean, I worked so many office jobs, but then I also worked so many like, you know, cater waiting, like things where you're moving around. I got to be moving.
Yeah, I need to be stimulated. I have to be like, it has to be a little bit different. I have to be on the move. Yeah, I couldn't. I think about that now. Like the pandemic really made it sink in where I was like, oh, if I had to go back to an office for the rest of my life, I would kill myself.
Oh, yeah. I think I would be. Well, you know, I obviously started earlier. I was like, I obviously want to fly small planes and help get people out of places. I also started an application to be a pastor. So
wait, I relate to that so deeply. Are you even religious?
I am. Yeah.
OK, what's your.
I was raised in the UCC, which is, you know, I feel like I have boogers on my nose right now because I just did that.
No, but when you did it, it made me feel like, was it like a low key? And no, then we just become like a nose wiping off. Dude, I always feel like that. I don't know if it's allergies or something.
I really feel boogery now and I can just, do I have boogers? And so I
grew up. You don't, but I wouldn't tell you because it'd be great for me to just zoom in on. But you really don't.
Keeping my nose behind this now. I was in the UCC church, which is United Church of Christ, which is congregational. It's like uber liberal.
It's like liberal Christianity.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you know, actually what Jesus said. And
oh, I love that.
And then my parents were actually like evangelicals.
Ooh.
And they were sort of, their churches when I would go stay with them were like, you know,
hardcore.
And I was very angry with it. I was like angry with the church, what the church says. And then I went away from the church for a long time. But then I realized like, no, you don't get to have Christianity, you white Christian nationalist fucks.
Yeah, you're not taking that from
you're
me.
Not taking it because I actually love like, you know, like the church I'm going to now, there's like a lot of justice work, you know, it's all about like volunteering and being there for people. Which is you're like, oh, you know, because the whole fucking point is that everybody is loved and should be taken care of, yeah, and they, have like, health care.
That was Jesus's whole
vibe. That
was
his whole fucking vibe, dudes. What's and going it, on?
It's such a bummer that like, yeah, just uber conservative Christians have sort of commandeered it and like taken the wheel in a way where people.
It's not Christianity at all.
With it, and they associate that when you say Christian, they think, oh, so you hate gay people, yeah, and you
it's really gone the wrong
women
way.
And it's mind-boggling.
So in the past couple of years, I've been like, nah, you don't get it. You don't get my Christian. You don't get my faith.
My God is an awesome God.
Yeah. So
I love that. Not enough people in LA either are religious or talk about having any. I'm like, for better or worse, I'm one of those like, I'm spiritual. I grew up Catholic, but I don't know. This is such an ADHD tear, but I've been like, could I be a pastor? And it's like, you're not even part of a religion.
Yeah, but you could be. You're a great orator.
Can we just start a church?
I think we can. Welcome, I mean, people church. Do it. You know who does it all the time? Men.
Men do. Mm-hmm. Church of, I don't know. If you had a church, what would you call it? You've thought about it.
You know, I would be like, I haven't thought about it.
I was like, you've made a logo.
But I'd be like, I have a logo. You know, now that you bring it up.
It's a pitch.
I would be like, I don't want to make it about me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, I get it.
Like, I just joined a bell choir. I mean, I'm
what?
In
what?
Yeah. We have our first performance on March 9th.
What? Plug it. I'm on my way. Are you kidding?
March 9th.
Wait, what is a bell choir?
Bell choir is... Bum, bum,
oh,
bum.
So there's no singing. It's just bells.
No, it's just bells.
Oh.
I played when I was a kid. You wear little white gloves.
Oh, my God. That's so fancy.
Yeah.
Are you loving it?
I just got back in it. And they're like, can you read music? I was like, not anymore, dude.
Yeah. No. I'll vibe it out.
That's literally.
You just point to me.
That's literally what I was doing. I was like, I'll figure it out.
Dude, I would be ruining that choir. Bong. And they're like, no.
I really wanted to be on the big bells because, you know.
Yeah. But you gotta earn that.
They were like, those are taken. And I was like, ah.
They give you a bell that doesn't actually have anything inside of it. They're just letting you ding. It makes no noise.
They're like, go at it, bitch.
You're just drumming. That's so fun. So you did it as a kid?
Yeah.
I just started playing soccer again.
And oh, that's so fun.
It's so fun. Like, I feel like I've been just on a mission to tell people, like, do something you did when you were a kid. If there's something about going
something
back to
about
something.
It that you like, didn't hate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't try to pick up something you hated. Don't be like, now I'm going to get into math. That's, yeah, it's, I don't know. There's some sort of, like, child-like, I don't say childish, but like childlike joy that I think comes from it.
It was like having fun.
Yeah. And I think we forget to have fun.
I think so too.
Especially, I don't know if it's more so if you're chasing a dream versus have like a regular job. Sometimes I think the benefit of a 9-to-5 that you're just like, it's my job, whatever, is that like people clock out and they clock out. They're like, I'm fucking not working. I'm going to go do whatever. Whereas, I don't know.
We can't ever clock out.
Or I'm always thinking about something related to the amount. I think almost every guest I've had this year, at some point in our episode, I come up with an idea for the two of us to have a podcast. And I'm not going to do them. They're like, we should have a podcast about this. And I'm like, why? Why? Why do I make everything a podcast?
How could you not? Well, we're going to make something into an animal sanctuary where we could have a podcast.
Yeah. And the animals will come on the podcast.
Yes, they would.
Ah, honestly, it's a great idea.
I would listen.
Welcome to the barn. Bitch barn.
Bitch barn.
Oh my God.
It's a barn full of bitches.
Yeah, it's us, a bunch of female dogs, and
obviously a cow.
And a cow, and we just bitch.
I tried to get this series going called Moo Am I? Because you know how sometimes you'll be driving down the road and there's that single solitary cow out from the rest of the cows and it always looks like it's having an existential moment.
Yeah, like what is my life?
Yes.
What does it all mean?
I just wanted to get a series called Moo Am I?
I think you should just do it.
Maybe I should do it.
Just do like a YouTube. It's like just road trip. I mean, what would it be? Maybe you don't want to. Are you keeping it close to the chest?
No, it didn't get further than that. Originally, it was just going to be like sort of still lives of these Moo Am I's, and then with like different thoughts they thought they'd be having. But then I thought maybe I could be like this wild lady who is like the cow person.
Oh, like the cow wrangler.
And I like know what their existential thoughts are.
I love the idea of you as a cow whisperer.
I would be, you know, when I was a kid.
And everything's in peril. No, go ahead.
There was a dairy farm near us. And it was like one of these late winter, early springs where it got hot and then cold and then the ice melted and then it iced again. Oof. And so the dairy farmer asked people in the town to come the cows were like getting sick, and they couldn't let the baby cows in with the mama cows because milkers were like their money. This is where I realized I could never be a farmer, because I was like, why can't you just let them in the house? And he was like, it doesn't work like that. And I was like, this is why I could never be a farmer. I couldn't deal with like all the death.
No, I would. I also couldn't. Yeah, no, I'd be like, just bring them in
the house. So we all went and slept in the hay bales with the baby cows to try to keep them warm with our body heat.
Oh, no wonder you love cows.
And then he let us name the cow that we... So, I mean, my cow was so... She's peed on me, and I felt like that was, like, the most intimate... She, like, let her guard down, you know?
Oh, wow. And, like, I can't imagine what subsequent relationships, like, were for you after that for years. If they don't pee on me, it's not love.
If they don't... I don't want them to pee on me, but I want them to feel safe enough to pee.
That they could
if they had to.
Yeah, that's a dream where it's like, I don't want you to do it, but I want you to know you could if you really
had definitely
to.
Don't do it.
But know that you could. But don't.
Also, if you peed on me on purpose, I would break your fucking teeth out of your mouth.
Oh, I would murder you.
Yeah.
Wait, so really quickly before we go to our next break, because I'm obsessed with this. So were you just going to get like still images or still videos of the cows? Or would you go up to the cow and... like let people, would you be there with the cow and go like, this is what she's thinking?
Well, originally it was going to be still images, and then I would sort of turn it into almost, you take have the picture of the cow, and then you know how they have the picture and then it turns into almost like a painting, and then they would, with, like, am little... I, and then I have the thought, and it'd be like a card series. That was the original. But then, so I'm a woman divided. Then I was like, I could be the cow lady and it could be like a sketch series.
I think so too. And you should come in. Never mind. I'm about to pitch the most fucking
pitch.
Come in and you're in an outfit that looks like you're a pile of hay. Like you're like, you have to disarm them. And you're like, I'm just going to be here with them. I'm just going to feel their inner, just be completely insane.
Like a hippie dips. I love that. I wanted her to be insane.
Everything that they think is like so dark. Yes, yes. Or is just like, what? I mean,
I think it would mix it up. Some of them would be dark and some of them would just be like, you know, what does pink taste like?
What does pink taste like? Anyway, on that note, let's think about it. We're going to be right back. We're back. And I do want to hear your story about how everyone's an idiot.
Oh, I completely forgot that we were talking about that.
Sidetracked and got into barn talk. And I love it. The bitch barn. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
That
has to be a thing already. Bitch barn.
It's, I kind of want to look it up. I'm Googling
it's so
it
good
while we talk. Because is that our podcast? Look at me starting.
We just go interview cows.
Honestly.
Do you remember that cow that was like this cow? It was in New York and it was a truck on the way to a slaughterhouse on the BQE. And this cow actually broke out of the back of the fucking truck. And broke its leg and ran down the fucking highway.
What?
And which is un-cow-like behavior. And
they have cows like that, by the way, at the general. They had a general barn in Missouri and it was like 5 cows that broke out.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Amazing. I think, I mean, obviously, I see these videos where they let cows who have been in captivity,
Cowtivity. Oh, no.
And they set them free. And then these cows run. They jump. They're having this. So obviously it is in cow behavior. But I think they've just been so beat down, you know?
Yeah. It's like they're women in society.
Yeah, it's exactly like being a woman in society. And then this cow or this animal sanctuary was like, this cow paid its fucking dues. And they came and picked it up and took it up to Woodstock.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, I held on to that story for months to keep me going.
That's us.
I am that cow.
Whenever I feel like I'm slipping, I think of the cow. I mean, what a story. And thank God that an animal sanctuary got to it first.
Yes.
Instead of some like redneck who wanted cheeseburgers for his kids or something. Because like, it's just when I see cows, those videos you mentioned of them like running and jumping, when they're like jumping for joy and they're like running with their cow friends. Crushes me.
I just watched this PETA video that destroyed me and I can't stop on seeing it.
Oh no. Yeah. Wait, tell me about it.
I don't want to.
Okay. Never mind. Don't tell me.
You're not gonna want to.
Yeah, I won't be able to go on. The way I will crumble over an Instagram video and I'm like, why do I keep watching these?
I should have walked away from this video when I saw the first picture. Yeah, I was like, don't do it. And then I went all in.
Yeah, it's a sickness. Being like, no, I gotta hurt. I gotta know what happened to this thing. Wait. Let's get off sad animal things. The idiot story.
Oh, the idiot story. I was thinking about this because it came up and then I was like trying to talk about it on stage And then I was like, it's a fun idiot story because I think everybody's an idiot in the story.
Mwah.
So this is in New York.
Everyone in New York is an idiot?
No, this was everybody in the story is an idiot. And my friend invited me to a private party.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fancy.
And I go, of course I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm bringing food. I'm not showing up at somebody's house without either a host or hostess gift or some kind
of food. Thank you. Okay. My boyfriend always, I'm like, we got to bring something. He's like, no, it's a party. They have stuff. And I'm like, what? No, you bring something.
You got to bring something, man.
That's just vindication for me. Sorry.
You got to bring stuff.
I'm like, even if they don't want it.
Yeah, if they don't want it, you shove it down their
face. Yeah, do I look around for something someone brought me that I didn't want? Sure, that is my first move.
That's fair. Like, they can then give it to somebody else.
We're all passing around the same bottle of shitty wine that we're like, thank you.
Well, I made hummus.
Oh, okay. Look, homemade hummus. Stuff.
Extra garlic. Very garlicky.
I love garlic.
Oh. And then I had like multiple choices of like different things to dip in it, depending on people's food allergies.
Yeah.
And it was like so a huge thoughtful thing. It was like a big, I remember it's like this plastic blue tray.
It was a tub of hummus.
It was like huge. And then it was like, my mother is like the yard sale queen, and she got me this, I like blue. So my mom had this thing where she got me everything blue. So it was like this huge tray platter.
Our mothers sound so similar. I can't mention anything that I like without her trying to make it my whole personality.
Yeah, my mom's got me this blue glass, like blue plastic. She just wants to have a thing at yard sales to look for, so she doesn't just keep, you know what I mean? She'll
just have a goal.
Otherwise, she calls me and she'll go, can you come get me? I just got a whole new shelf for 25 cents. And it's like,
I bought a ceramic horse.
Yeah, you're like, okay. So I get to this house. It's a sex party.
You brought hummus to a sex party? Hummus. Also, you don't call that
it a private party.
Like, private party?
Yes, private. I go, what happened here?
Did this just break out?
And she was like, she wanted somebody to come with her. So she fucking download that shit.
What? Also, like, if you want to go to a sex party, either be upfront about it or fucking go boldly in the direction of your dreams or whatever. But fucking go by yourself, bitch.
I also would have come to support.
Yeah, moral support.
If you need moral support, I'll be there. But like,
you're a hype man on the side with an air horn.
That's
literally, bah, bah,
bah, bah. That is what I
suck that dick.
If I talk about it on stage, can I use that?
Yes, please.
But I literally was essentially on the sidelines holding the fucking hummus.
Oh my God.
Because I wanted to stay there to support, but I'm like, I'm not getting involved. I'm a hypochondriac. It's so messy. I don't want to. And I'm in the corner with the hummus. And this fucking guy comes over. And this is the real idiot of the story.
Oh, God.
He says to me, you know, he invites me in to the...
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine.
And I very politely was like, you know, I have the hummus, and
someone's got to hold the hummus.
I'm here for like when people need breaks and
sustenance.
He said, like, he started going in, like being like that I wasn't a real feminist, and obviously I was insecure about my body. And
he started shaming you at a sex party.
Was like trying to like get me to like
neg
fucking,
you into
neg me into fucking sucking his dick. I was like, yes, you think this is what bell hooks wanted? Like, this is not,
has this ever worked, sir?
I can't believe that this is happening right now. I'm not, he's questioning my feminism because I wouldn't fuck him.
Yeah, you're like, if anything, I'm more feminist because I have the choice to not fuck you.
I was like, has this ever worked?
Yeah. Dude, the way some of the logic of men, of like, especially the negging thing, it's like, what did you think was gonna, I don't know what's worse, negging or catcalling. That it's like,
I would say negging.
Yeah, because at least, you know, I can call someone catcalling a creep, but you
also think sometimes it's a nice catcall. You're like, did you just bless me? Thank you.
It is. And you know, wait till you stop getting catcalls, young ladies. Then you'll realize what you're missing. I once had a cat. I was in tiny shorts and I was in New York, and I walked out of, I was staying in a hostel. I was like a young comedian there for like 2 weeks, and a construction worker yelled, "Nice smile." And I've never been angrier. I was like, smile.
You're like, look at these shorts.
My fucking pussy's almost hanging out. Well, you shouldn't even be looking at my face.
Look at this vagina. Maybe he meant your smile vagina.
Oh, yeah. My little smile. Oh, yeah. You're probably
maybe
right.
Maybe he meant your the other lips.
The one that got
the
away.
The ones that was smiling. I hate it when people catcall you and you ignore them and they're like, whatever, bitch. That's yeah. What I, it, come on.
That you're like, just, you shot your shot, move along.
I recently had somebody recently neg me and I was so taken back. I go, oh, that doesn't work on me.
Yeah, that doesn't work on. If it does work on a woman, run. Like, that woman's gonna fucking.
I'm like a full grown adult, you. And whatever's happening right now, no, thank you.
Yeah, I just shut it down.
Nope.
No.
Well, it had been a while that I'd gotten a nice nagging.
nice nagging. You need one every once in a while, you know. Wait. So, I mean, is that the?
The rest of the story is, and I mean, I guess.
I mean, how do you exit?
So then I just left because she seemed like she was doing well.
She's in there. She doesn't need. Did you take the hummus?
Yeah. I definitely took the tray. I think I left the hummus because my mom would be like, where's that 25-cent tray I got you? But so I'm out. This is when I was still drinking.
Uh-oh.
I'm out in these New York streets, wasted. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, how am I still alive? And I just hooked up with like a group of people going to a club. And this is not even a good story.
I joined a group of people.
And this was at a time in my life where, can I just roll into another story?
Please.
I'm going to end a story and then I need to roll. Because I was into that whole thing where you had like one shoulder and then like no bra.
Oh.
And then like a little, so your like hard nips were just fucking everywhere.
In the wind.
So I was wearing one of those jammies and I joined this group of people and then we went to a club and I was wasted. And I just remember this guy going, I go, you know, what do you do? And he was like, I'm in import and exports. And I was like, art? I love art. And then I just started about art. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like, he was a drug dealer, you fucking idiot. Like,
art?
And he literally kept looking at me like I was an idiot. And I thought he was like messing up my art references. And then I was like, he's
and you're like, was that Van Gogh? I was positive I was talking about Jackson Pollock. I guess I'm cultureless.
I got my Monets wrong. But then what made me think of is that shirt. This is a fucking one of my first jobs in New York. I worked at a billiard hall.
Hot.
And there was an album release party. I was the hostess.
Wow.
And I lived alone on 148th Street.
Oh, damn. That's pretty far up there.
And this was downtown. So it was like late at night. So the bouncer lived up by me. And he would often drive me home at night because I didn't want to take a cab that far. And it was late and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And it's scary.
And so I looked at. So I had this. It was a red shirt. The one shoulder thing. I looked down. My fucking tit is out. And then
the album's not the only thing being released tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm walking back to his car to drive me home, and he's a minivan, and in the back are his kids' seats.
Oh God.
And then I go, why didn't you tell me that my tit was out? And he goes, I thought you did it for me.
What a fucking pit.
And then he literally thought we were going to fuck in his minivan.
With his kids' with his car kids. And probably crumbs everywhere.
I mean, I literally was like, I'm on the subway, bro.
Also, for you to think a woman, first of all, needs that to I took make my a move, tit out. And that the move is I just took one tit out was like, huh?
That's so mind blowing. I was like, I'm going to pull a tit out. That's how I'm going to let you know.
That's. Honestly, I think that's what men think. I think they just are like, well, when they want sex, they'll like, because in their mind, they think they should pull their dicks out. The good ones refrain from it, but they go like, maybe if I just pull my dick out, something will happen. She'll know that I'm interested. They're animals. And then you just let it fucking fly.
I just sort of let my tits, my one tit, because the other one was in the other side. I was like,
what is a sample?
And I wouldn't care that like all the people there saw my tit because I was just trying to get to him. Because
I wanted you so badly that I just needed the tit out so everyone else could. It's like that fucking Bianca, whatever her, like fucking Kanye's wife.
Oh, that was new.
They're like, I wanted other people to see what you're going to get later. Bouncer. Bouncer at a billiards hall. You thought this was the night.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I mean, shame on anyone who doesn't tell a woman.
You got to tell a lady nipple, when her tit's out.
I had my tit come out during a cotillion dance in high school.
Oh, wow.
And at some point, and I was like dressed. It was Mardi Gras themed, I think.
I love that it's at a cotillion dance.
And I think whatever cotillion's supposed to be is not what it was in Alaska. I think it's supposed to be sophisticated. Ours were just like they rented out a hotel, like ballroom, and we were dancing. I don't remember anything else about cotillion. And I don't think there was anything else. I think we're just classless and we're like, it's called cotillion and you only get invited if you're cool. And then I eventually started getting invited for some reason. But I don't know how long it was out. I was in a fucking feather boa and I wore a dress where it's like, I don't have big tits. It'll look better without a bra. And then it was full tit too. Like, oh, that's someone's fantastic. Like, your boob's out. And I'm like, dude, I've been on this dance floor for like 2 hours straight. And people are just out here letting their... She's fun.
She's a good time.
Yeah. That's...
This is how I visualize Alaska, though, so...
Yeah, no, that it's like, that's a woman's hello. That it's like, okay, that's how you let them know that it's safe to approach. It's very animalistic. God, that's like so much worse than not telling someone they have... I mean, what's like... Shit,
are we
going to
say a booger because I have a booger?
Or a booger. Mm. Yeah, I'll never tell.
I'd also had a breast reduction. I mean, we're going all the way in on
okay,
this.
Okay, so titties. Like, I feel...
So my tits were so high at this point.
Whoa.
Because when you get a breast reduction, your muscles in your chest are so used to having you these fucking knockers that they're holding up. That they are so high. You're like, am I flossing with my nips?
Damn.
And so I was not yet used to the height of the tit. But that's why I was wearing all these shirts because I'd never been able to.
Whoa, you had honkers?
Oh, I had fucking honkers, dude.
What was the, was it back pain? What was the...
It was, I still have a curved neck.
Because of it?
Yeah.
And you were just like, I'm sick of it. Did your insurance cover it?
No, my insurance did not cover it. I never had a bra that fit me because, you know, how are you going to get that in rural Maine? So I had,
rural
like
Maine.
When I got, you know, they draw your, I don't think I've talked about this on a podcast, so let's see how this feels. They draw you on you when you're getting the...
They draw like what the new tit's going to be?
No, they, what? Well, they outline what your tit is and then... Because they're like a dress. It's like they're doing the sizing. Whoa. And my nipples were below my crotch.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they were like down mid-thigh. I mean, I had unbelievably large tits. And my back... And, you know,
I can't even like fathom that.
I had so much tit. And I was like wearing multiple bras at the same time. And then my parents did not have insurance. They were growing up. And so my mom's whole plan was that I was going to get into college in Canada. Canada, please don't make me pay for this now. And so I got into college in Canada and I got a job and I got Canadian healthcare. And they were like, well, someone's got to take care of those tits. And
yeah, those are cumbersome. They're a menace to society.
So like first they make you like, they're like, well, you know, lose weight and see what happens. And so I lost a ton of weight. My tits didn't change an inch.
So you were just tinier with the tits just seem larger at
that
point.
They're just so much tit. And then so they were like, we're going to handle this, dude. And then so.
These are unfun bags.
Unfun bags.
That's crazy. That level of. I always wonder, like, what is the biological, like, why?
Both my grandmothers have had huge bosoms.
Is it just evolutionary? You were supposed to have like a ton of kids.
That's what I'm afraid it is. That's why I got these wide hips and these fucking...
She's a whole lot of woman.
I'm like a fucking farm. I'm so fertile.
My body is built like the line is supposed to end here. This is the end of the line. Like, let's shut it down.
What's funny is that the doctor goes, they'll probably grow back, start growing back.
What?
I mean, they are. They'll never be.
They're like a lizard's tail.
They're just like, we're growing back, dude. This, like, is in your DNA.
Yeah, you're supposed to have jugs.
God was like, hey, tits, not how I made you. So they're coming back, baby.
Yeah, I didn't make it for your personality, kid. Let's get them tits back on there.
I love it. That's going to be my new favorite vision of God.
It's just a fucking smoky cigar. Like, where'd the tits go?
Yeah.
God gave you tits. And the extra rib was to hold up the tits.
Fuck. Okay. What do we... Let's see.
I usually don't share so much.
I feel so honored.
So fun being here.
So vulnerable. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, well, if you still want to. You know, I got to make a go of social media this year.
You know what? I don't want to say it's worth the investment, but about a year and a half ago, I actually started leaning in. And I did see, when I focused on it, I saw growth. And for better or worse, it's a fucking part of what we do. And that helped me get more bookings. And it pisses me off to no end that people will treat you differently if they like because you're social media, they like have a different perception of you versus other people, or like they equate the exact number with your success sometimes. Like, that's first of all false. There's people with less followers who sell more, and people with a ton of followers who can't sell tickets or like can't make it translate into anything. But if you make a little bit of a concentrated effort, it does help. The camera did die, but
are you doing it across that board, like YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram?
Yeah. So TikTok, Instagram, you know what? A lot of people sleep on Facebook, and I've told this to a few people. In terms of stand-up, I've seen the most growth there, and it translates into ticket sales. Like, I think it, being on the coast, we think of, like, Facebook as old and people don't use it, but there's more people there than anywhere else still.
I just sort of am not, I just have a Facebook page. I don't even have, like, I mean, like, I have a business page. I don't have, like, a regular, like, you
oh,
can't
do it on your
me.
Business page. That's what I, like, have a, you can't message you at all?
No, because I got so many messages that, like, drove me so crazy that I couldn't even handle it.
It's fine. I've turned mine off before, and it doesn't, like, the shares I get there, it, like, goes further when a video pops off.
Really?
Yeah. And all I was doing is, like, edit the video, and then I just posted it each one. You know, like, I just go and...
And then do you want to respond to comments or?
Sometimes I'm trying to do it less because the negative ones are going to happen and you have to let them because they also boost you in the algorithm. So people who like you find you. So I just have to make peace with people going, women are fucking stupid. Look at this stupid pig. And I go, Lord, let me get to the people who love me.
Yeah.
But
I had like, you know, when it first started, I was like in there and then I just couldn't take the fucking negativity. So I guess I just got to get back in, put
it's
my shoulder
draining.
Down.
Yeah. And I will say
I had two guys fighting about which one of them hated me more. I mean, it's exhausting.
That's so, you know what I will say? And here's the small payoff I've seen lately. And for full disclosure, I do now, I am bleeding money paying someone to like edit and post my stand up clips. So and part of what I tell myself I'm paying for is my mental health to get off of there, but I still get in there.
You still get in there.
I'm still, like, the fact that I even respond to, like, DMs when I'm like, I'm going to get off of Instagram, and then I'm deep in there, and I'm still really trying to, like, let those posts happen and fucking be off of it. It's an ongoing struggle. But only in the last couple months, I've started getting regularly occurring someone... in the comments will shit on the person shitting on me.
Oh, that's great.
Like people are now going after them. And I'm like, that's what you build it for.
That's great.
You build it so you get the security guards of the good internet people.
I love that.
But I mean, it has helped my booking. It's helped fucking people find me. I hate it. All I want to do is live art.
No, it's a part of the business.
That's why I started filming this, is I'm trying to like do more for YouTube, and it's hell on earth.
I'm just going
to
get in it. So that's how people can find me, at Leah Bonnema, LEAHBONNEMA, Instagram,
no D'Alessandra,
TikTok. I might add it back into my IMDb. That may become my legal, but I mean, it'll still be Leah Bonnema for comedy.
Yeah, you've come too far. I've
come too far to add a name.
Yeah, and you're going to go further. You guys, this was great. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Go follow Leah. Come to our bitch barn when we... finally open it.
Oh my
day.
God, I'm so excited for it. I just want to know that as soon as the camera went off, I dropped my fucking cross legs like nobody's business.
Yeah, and the tits came out.
Oh.
You guys can't see them. They are huge.
They are big again.
They're even bigger than we imagined. All right. We'll see you soon, idiots. Bye.
Bye.
That concludes this week's episode of Ignorance is Blessed. I hope you enjoyed the guest. Do you have follow-up thoughts, follow-up questions? Get in the Facebook group and start a conversation. Ignorance is hashtag blessed idiots on Facebook. You can search for it or find it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JMS comedy. There you can have a chat about this guest. You can ask about future guests. You can suggest future guests. I love it all. Please keep giving suggestions and keep asking questions, because the more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening, and thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots!
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.